funds that the governor approved. That did not stand in the way of several recommendations made in the report. Here are the corona numbers. Five more Rhode Islanders have died. More than 150 new confirmed cases. The new cases were out of more than 5,500 tests, which gives a positivity rate of 2.8%. In addition to choosing candidates for various offices, Portsmouth voters will be asked to approve 12 amendments to the town's charter. They range from grammatical tweaks to how much experience the fire chief should have to gender-neutral language. If approved, they'll go right into effect on Election Day. And your weather word, clouds giving way to some sun, details on the way on 1540 WADK.
1540 WADK. Here's your Boating in the Bay report.
That dense fog advisory is up for a while. East winds around 5 becoming southerly this afternoon. Areas of fog, drizzle, waves around 2 feet, visibility 1 mile or less. Tonight, southwest winds 5 to 10, more fog, waves around 2 feet, visibility a mile or less. Tomorrow, west winds around 5, becoming southwest in the afternoon, more fog, visibility 1 to 3 nautical miles and waves 2 to 3 feet. On Rhode Island Sound, southeasterlies at 5 to 10. On in the Newport Harbor, your next high tide will be 12:12 this afternoon. Sunset at 5:56. Sunrise tomorrow at 7:04. The moon is in the first quarter. There is a dense fog advisory and probably will be for a while. And that's Boating and the Bay on WADK.
Brought to you by Sardella's and Imbriglio's. Enjoy Sardella's and Imbriglio's at home. Chicken parm, authentic Neapolitan pizzas, house-made desserts. Place your order 4 to 8:30 every day at sardellas.com or call 849-6312.
Pilot of the airwaves, here is my request. You don't have to play it, but I hope you'll do your best. I've been listening to your show on the radio, and you seem like a friend to me.
Bruce Newberry!
Download 192, upload 251. Automatic gain control, expander, limiter, and other things. Oh, which means we're sending out what we're supposed to be. Could be lost in the fog a little bit. Must be. Bruce Newberry, good morning. Yours until sometime this afternoon. In a quarter mile or less of... And we're not alone. All of Rhode Island and eastern Massachusetts, Cape Cod, and the islands are in the dense fog advisory. Until 10 o'clock this morning, if not later. So slow down and use your headlights. Use that fog light attachment, that button with the goofy-looking headlight icon that you never did quite know what it was. It's a fog light. Just put it on. You'll be fine. So we have school stuff of which we might speak today. The 2020 Pandemic Education Analysis from the Rhode Island Public Expenditures Council, who hates everything. They may as well have just called the organization Mikey. Hates everything. And mostly it's 31 pages of you know what. I mean, it even says on page 18 out of the 31 pages. Let me find this here. Again, no one more embittered than an unwitting dupe. And we're duped. we're dupes and we're dopes. There is no comprehensive tally that reaches the conclusions that this report wishes to reach and leads you to believe. First of all, it says that students in Rhode Island are disadvantaged and only a third of the students have the in-person learning and blah, blah, blah. On page 18, there is no comprehensive tally of the number of students with access to in-person learning in the United States. So they're going by a representative sampling of 477 districts across the United States from the month of August. They may as well use the school system of Mars in 1928. I mean, that bears about as much resemblance to any of this. Well, I put the word out to my school superintendents on the island, all of whom are most accessible and terrific people to talk to. And we're definitely going to have Colleen Burns-Germain on at 11:30. We expect to have Rosemarie Krager on at some point. I have not heard back from Thomas Kenworthy. But Colleen Burns-Germain has read the report, and it's nonsense. It's just nonsense. But it's grabbing the headlines. And that's the actual issue, is that it grabs the headlines, leads you in a direction that is not the right direction to be led. You know? So that's the story. And there are other more important things to deal with, like calamari. This is interesting. We're going to talk to Lars at 9:30, or at least we're scheduled to. And there's a story in the food section this morning in the Providence Journal. Gail Champa, who, I guess all the journal is working at home. That whole building is closed down in Providence and has been since the springtime. So there's nobody in the journal building. Blows the mind. Nobody there. So all these people are working from home and they're trying to scrounge stories wherever they can. And which explains a lot about the type of reporting that gets done, because it just reeks of on the fly and out of touch. I mean, I'm running a virtual newsroom. I will be right up front with you. I am privileged and honored to be able to bring you the morning news and follow in the great tradition of a lot of people here at WADK who report news and the goings-on of Aquidneck Island and Newport County and the state of Rhode Island for many, many, many years. And so I really take it to heart and realize that there's something I have to live up to here. That said, I'm only one man, and there's a pandemic. Luckily, there's a lot of technology that's at my fingertips. So we bring you, and I have a good idea what's out there on the dial. So we bring you what I think is the most comprehensive local news that you're going to find anywhere. Blogs, online, websites, TV. I mean, today the Providence Journal found Newport, stumbled on Newport, and which they do about once every millennium. So you're not getting news out of Providence that affects you at all. The Jamestown Press does an incredible job. The Hayeses up in Bristol and Portsmouth and wherever else they can find news do an amazing job. And a couple of the reporters who are still at it at the Newport Daily News, who are probably working out of their car, are doing the best they can. And they do get the story done, because the perception is, I'm going to go off on a little tangent here, because the perception is that that is still a great journalism institution. And so the institutions of culture and government still reach out to the Newport Daily News like it was 1958. And it was actually, you know, a vibrant business with hundreds of people working for the Sherman family, which is the greatest crime of all, that nameless, faceless corporate conglomerate is using this reputation built on the literally on the backs of the Sherman family It is a criminal enterprise, if I may quote our president. Nevertheless, you've got some reporters like Sean Flynn who are out there getting it done. And so they're doing, they're living up to the reputation. That said, we do what we can. And look, a lot of it's virtual. I'm sitting here and I comb the other news organizations, and you always hear them credited. The Jamestown Press reports, East Bay RI reports, the Daily News reports. And we don't get the same thing in return, by the way, because we have started to break some news around here, and we do not have it acknowledged ever. Am I bitter? No. So, but the perception is that, well, there is no perception. That's the issue. Because too many of those who are writing for and reporting for these institutions have no, it's not so much a perception, but no institutional memory and no context. So they'll just literally regurgitate wholesale what is sent to them. So the Rhode Island Public Expenditures Council is out there with an extremely, well, with an excellent reputation. Gary Sass and his ilk report statistics very well. However, in the conclusion drawing business, they fail sometimes because we know what we know about the schools and about the testing and about the in-person learning versus the virtual learning and so forth. And it is not what it appears to be. It is being engineered, managed, massaged, and put over on you by the unions. You are not getting reality. You are getting a prism viewpoint driven by union leadership who have always borne an undue influence on education in this state. But now, where we're all kind of on the ropes, are taking advantage. And it is a battle. Governor Raimondo gets up there on a Wednesday and gets into it, goes bare knuckle with these union people. And she is justified in doing so because they are doing a disservice to the parents of the children and the children. So at least in that sense, and look, I call the governor into question when I think she needs to be called into question. She's only one person. She's flawed, and she's got people working for her that are flawed. But everybody's doing the best they can. And it's the first pandemic we've ever been through. So that said, the perception is faulty. And so you have conclusions that are flawed that are being reported as gospel. So this 2020 pandemic report is a 51-page piece of drive-by. And if you read it, it even says so. We don't know what the hell we're talking about. There is no study. We're extrapolating off 400 school districts from the United States of America. There are more than 400 schools in the state of Rhode Island. And I dare say, if we were to get into whatever source material there is, we would find that there is little or no representation of the state of Rhode Island. They're quoting news stories in this report. It's ridiculous. So, anyway, I know what I know. I know what's flawed. And if I know this is flawed, everybody knows it's flawed. That's the way I look at it. And maybe I should look at it this way. Maybe people know more than, maybe I know more than I think. Anyway, we've got stuff to talk about traffic. I'm sitting here babbling away like a damn fool, and we've got some trouble here. So let's get to WADK's traffic. The exclusive VD Mercedes-Benz VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton Bridge traffic report. I'm looking at two crashes now on the Newport Pell Bridge. I've got one in the eastbound toll. I've got another at mid-span. They both appear to be in the eastbound lane. So that is going to take care of that for a while. So you can get off the island, but it's going to be very difficult getting on from Jamestown. It's going to back up, so watch out for that. Two accidents on the Newport Pell Bridge just in the last few minutes. We'll keep you posted on that. It's the fog. I can't imagine why those construction crews have not been pulled off, but that's not my call. Please be careful. Watch for these work crews. There's one right after the North Road overpass westbound on the 138. There's another one as you get on the Jamestown-Verrazano Bridge. There's another one. There's the painting crew that has the right-hand lane of the Jamestown-Verrazano Bridge almost in North Kingstown. And it is just foggy as hell out there. So please be careful. We don't want to have a tragedy up there today. They have pulled the crew off the Mount Hope Bridge or never sent them out. Thank goodness. So you're free and clear in the fog on the Mount Hope Bridge, and the Sconnet River Bridge moves well. The VD family and you, it's always VD and you. And we'll check these bridges again in at least about 20 minutes or so, and probably before that as I get some word on these crashes on the Pell Bridge.
This portion of programming is sponsored by Batteries Plus Bulbs. At Batteries Plus, they do more than fix phones and tablets. They help their neighbors power their lives. Visit Batteries Plus in-store, curbside, and online at batteriesplus.com. Thai Cuisine on Thames Street in Newport offers traditional Pad Thai, authentic curry, including seafood and vegan, stir-fry and pan-fried dishes, and more. Indoor and outdoor seating, call 841-8822 for reservations, delivery, or takeout. Thai Cuisine, food to Thai for.
This is Jean Napolitano, and I'm asking you to vote for Jim Dring for the Newport School Committee. Jim is the father of three school-age daughters, a homeowner, and a taxpayer. Jim was past chair of Newport Planning Board and current chair of My Antinomy Park Commission. We see many signs that say, drive like your kids live here. I ask you to vote like your kids live here. Vote Jim Dring, Newport School Committee.
This message paid for by Jim Dring for Newport School Committee. In every season, there's always a good reason to stop by Fifth Ward Liquor. Seth is always on the lookout for great new features while maintaining a super selection and sensational savings. Now in stock, Kentucky Pumpkin Barrel Ale, Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Variety Packs, Harpoon Dunkin' Donuts IPA, and Rock Hill Farm Single Barrel Bourbon. Fifth Ward has Jefferson Reserve Bourbon, $57.99. Also in stock, 1792 Full Proof Bourbon. Look for 888 Vodka on sale, $23.99. Religion Blanco Tequila, $43.99. Gordon's Gin 175s, $20.99. And Canadian Club Whiskey 175s, $25.99. All this and so much more at Fifth Ward Liquor, 695 Lois Thames. Curbside service still available and free delivery to Aquidneck Island and Jamestown, 847-4545.
The fun starts quicker with Fifth Ward Liquor. You better take the fifth.
Everything we do at VD Volvo is for everyone's safety. 0% financing up to 60 months when you buy a new 2020 or 2021 Volvo. Lease a new 2020 Volvo XC90 T5 Momentum for just $489 a month for 36 months. Or buy with 0% financing up to 60 months. $4889 due at signing. See your VD Volvo dealer or go to vdvolvo.com for details. Ends 10/31. And free pickup, free delivery, free car wash, and a free loaner if your car needs service. Because
it's still VD Volvo and you.
With all of the stress in the world, the last thing you need to worry about is what to do after a car accident. That's why you call Carl's Collision Center. We have two convenient locations in Newport and Fall River and make the whole process easy. When you choose Carl's Collision, you can trust your vehicle is in the right hands. Our technicians are trained by many of the manufacturers with certifications from Mercedes-Benz, Tesla, Ford, and many others. Carl's Collision Center is building it new all over again. Visit us at carlscollision.com.
Carl's Collision is proud to share the spotlight with these fine area businesses. Give your gently used clothing and household items a new life outside of the landfill and help fund Big Brothers Big Sisters of Rhode Island's mission. Drop off items at their 1341 West Main Road Middletown location or schedule a pickup at donateri.org.
WADK weather.
There is a dense fog advisory in effect until mid-morning. For today, clouds breaking for some sunshine once the fog moves out, high 68. Mostly cloudy and mild tonight, low 62. Mostly cloudy and warm tomorrow, high 71. Clear for tomorrow night, low 57. Kicking off the weekend Friday, pleasant with partial sunshine, high 64. Friday night, a few clouds will hang around with a low of 55. I'm Cheryl Golden on 1540 WADK.
Get the latest news 24/7 at WADK.com. 1540 WADK. WADK.
And we're keeping an eye on things as best we can in the fog. Looking at my bridge map, and it appears as though they're dealing with those two crashes. And we don't have traffic cameras on the Pell Bridge itself, so it's a little difficult to see. Someone may want to think about putting some of those in. We have them at every Cumberland Farms in the history of the world, so, but we don't need them on the Pell Bridge. What good would that do? Anyway, so I started talking about this public expenditures report, and let me at least give you the first part of it here. The COVID-19 pandemic has disrupted nearly aspect of human activity. Like schools across the country, elementary and secondary schools in Rhode Island had little to no experience in distance learning. For the fall, there's been a general push across the country and Rhode Island to open schools for in-person instructions. However, public health requirements, space limitations, and other concerns have made it difficult for many school systems to fully reopen, both in Rhode Island and nationally. And some of these footnotes are quotes of news stories. Public expenditure, go do your own damn fact-finding. In Rhode Island, the student learning losses linked to distance learning raised particular concern, blah, blah, blah. All well and good, all good and well. But keep in mind, and we'll talk about this with the school superintendents, at the very least we have a commitment from Colleen Burns-Germain of Newport, the school systems are following the Department of Education instructions, guidelines. It's not even suggest, not even guidelines. AIG is running the show. You do not go against AIG. She ordered the schools to do this, as did Governor Raimondo. So how is it that they are getting chastised now and castigated for following the government directions? It's foolishness. It's foolishness. It's a waste of 31 pages. Well, at least it wasn't a waste of 51 pages. So there we are. But we have calamari to talk about. This is what's most important. And again, another instance of an out-of-touch media. My colleague Gail Champa, food writer, Providence Journal, discovers calamari. And because some media member asked her, some out-of-town media member asked her, hey, what's the deal with calamari in Rhode Island? And it turns out it's the food writer for the Wall Street Journal, who she didn't know. And it turns out that the food writer for the Wall Street Journal has a house on Block Island, which she didn't know. Of course, the fact that the food writer for the Wall Street Journal was getting in touch with the food writer of the Providence Journal for the first time. Let's talk about that for a minute. Again, these media people are a little bit, they're showing themselves, and it's amazing how out of touch they are. Wouldn't you expect, if you're in the insurance business, don't you know somebody else in the insurance, don't you know a lot of other people in the insurance business? If you're an automobile sales professional or a service professional, if you're in the auto body business, you know everybody in the damn industry. But media? Oh, no, somebody that writes about food in Providence? No, I'm not aware of that. Again, we deserve better. Well, let's see what Lars has to say about all this. We'll ring him up in a minute. Let's check the bay.
1540 WADK. Here's your Boating in the Bay report.
One I can see through the fog here. East winds are on 5 knots, becoming south this afternoon. Visibility reduced in fog and drizzle, waves 1 to 2 feet. Tonight, southwest winds at 5 to 10, more fog, more reduced visibility. Tomorrow, west winds around 5, becoming southwest in the afternoons, waves 2 to 3 feet, more fog and reduced visibility. Out on Rhode Island Sound, southeast winds are 5 to 10 knots. The next high tide in Newport Harbor will be 12:12 this afternoon, sunset 5:56. Sunrise tomorrow at 7:04. It's in the first quarter of the moon. I mentioned I'm French-Canadian by marriage. And there is a dense fog advisory. The current temperature along the Newport waterfront, and what I can see in the fog-obscured thermometer, is 62 degrees. And that's Boating in the Bay on WADK.
I'm Paul Marshall, and I'm running for Newport's 3rd Ward City Council. I've made this city my home. I was born and raised here, graduated from Rogers High School, and I'm now raising my own family here. I, Paul Marshall, am most excited to help represent and deliver results to improve the quality of life for all ages in Newport. Please feel free to contact me anytime on my cell at 401-595-0908. I hope I, Paul Marshall, can count on you for your vote on November 3rd.
Paid for by Friends of Paul Marshall.
Now, your local headlines on 1540. WADK.
Good morning. It's Wednesday. There's a dense fog advisory. Rioters in Providence last night faced off against police, threw bricks and bottles, and set off fireworks outside police headquarters. There were approximately 20 arrested in the chaos. One officer was injured, as was a canine. They both should be okay. This happened after an organized march from South Providence. It was about a moped versus police vehicle crash over the weekend during an ATV free-for-all on city streets. That resulted in the 24-year-old moped driver hospitalized in a coma, and the officer on suspension. The corona numbers from Tuesday, 5 more Rhode Islanders have died. More than 150 new confirmed cases of the disease, according to the Department of Health. More than 5,500 tests, which gives a positivity rate of 2.8%. The 7-day rolling average, the out-of-state number from Johns Hopkins, is now 1.9. Number of people in the hospital, 135. Bishop Hendricken High School remains in virtual learning for the third day. Two positive corona cases were reported over the weekend. Roger Williams University in Bristol has seen its first cluster of coronavirus cases and closed the building, but said in a message to students that it's possible that a research building was causing some false positives rather than actual infections. 20 of the new cases were tied to learning, studying, or working in the Marine and Natural Sciences building. There were 23 positives altogether. The lab materials used in the research in the building are designed to mimic the virus. They're not actually the virus itself, but can trigger a positive test. As of last week, the Board of Elections has officially begun scanning all mail ballots received in the state of Rhode Island. Once your mail ballot has been processed, you'll be able to confirm its receipt by visiting vote.ri.gov. However, if you submitted your mail ballot at your city or town's official election drop box, the staff is not able to track the status of your mail ballot. A report on public education in the time of COVID was released by the Rhode Island Public Expenditure Council. By October 13th, the date by which all schools were to be back in person, only 9 districts were fully open by that date, and according to the report, only a third of Rhode Island students had access to full in-person learning. Now, all districts were following the plans that the governor and the Department of Education, which is now criticizing, approved. That did not stand in the way of several recommendations made in the report, however. And your weather word, clouds giving way to some sun, fog around this morning. Details on the way on 1540 WADK.
Bill Del Nero Cleaners, Newport's only full-service laundry and dry cleaner, has been serving the area for over 60 years. If you need personal laundry or dry cleaning done, uniforms or linens cleaned and pressed to look like new, or area rugs and drapery done, they can handle it all. For pickup and delivery, call 847-6800. Voted Newport County's best for 3 years in a row. With locations in Portsmouth on East Main Road and in Newport on Farewell Street, Bill Del Nero Cleaners.
Save money on a new heating system and be ready for Old Man Winter. Superior Comfort Incorporated is offering up to $600 off a new high-efficiency heating system on qualifying equipment from now until November 16th. They're also offering 0% financing on new heating systems. Just need a fall tune-up for your existing furnace? New customers save $10 from now until October 30th. Call Superior Comfort Incorporated, 401-396-9171.
Attention small business owners. The Restore RRI grant program is open for applications. As part of a package of programs to provide relief for small businesses, Restore RRI is targeted at those which have been severely impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. The Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce is proud to partner with the Rhode Island Commerce Corporation in offering assistance to all eligible businesses throughout the application process. Chamber staff can be reached at 847-1600, and full details can be found at newportchamber.com.
The Army National Guard plays a vital role in your community. We're on the front lines supporting essential personnel, first responders, law enforcement, and medical professionals, delivering food, supplies, and medicine, keeping communities safe, making a difference. During emergencies, we're always ready, always there. Learn more about part-time service in the Army National Guard at nationalguard.com.
Sponsored by the Rhode Island Army National Guard. Aired by the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association and this station.
Congressman David Cicilline works hard for Rhode Island. David helped secure more than $1 billion in COVID relief funding for our state. Endorsed by the Alliance for Retired Americans, David is fighting to drive down prescription drug costs. He's assisted thousands cut through red tape and access their Social Security, Medicare, and veterans' benefits. Vote early at your city or town hall or in person at the polls on Election Day, Tuesday, November 3rd. David Cicilline, he's working hard for Rhode Island.
I'm David Cicilline, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the Cicilline Committee.
Listen online, on your tablet, or on your smartphone at WADK.com.
Oh, that is the late Spencer Davis. Oh, my gosh.
And oh, I know. Yeah.
Did you hear about that, Lars? Lars Trotz is working on the line.
Oh, sorry. I just jumped right in. Yeah, I did. And it was like, really? I mean, it was like 81 or something,
He
right?
was, yes. No kid, for sure.
It's funny about, I was thinking about this the other day. So the other day, an actress by the name of Rhonda Fleming.
Yes, Rhonda Fleming, 97.
Yes, and she was a Technicolor beauty.
Oh, was she a knockout?
Yes, and she was really probably the last higher profile actor from the 40s left. Mm,
you know, I think you're
that
right.
Era probably is now officially over. You know, I'm sure that there are people that worked in it that we don't know about. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That are elderly. But in terms of the people that you would identify publicly with that era are now, with Kirk Douglas dying last year, I think, or earlier this year.
Yes.
And Olivia de Havilland, I think, died earlier this year.
Yes.
It's over. You know what I mean?
No, it's true.
But then I was thinking, you know, when you say a name like Spencer Davis and he's in his 80s, and I'm realizing now that high-profile actors from the 50s and 60s are not very plentiful anymore, Bruce, you know?
It's very true. But that was a lifestyle thing, wasn't it? I mean, they lived hard.
Well, but it's also now, I guess the point is that era itself is now a long time ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very true. If you're talking 1960, that's now 60 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the Paul Newmans and the Steve McQueens. Yep. And, I mean, Jane Fonda's still around, but she's probably 85, you know, I'm guessing,
sure.
Give or take. And you know, but they're not, that era, that other golden age of Hollywood is now receding into the past as well.
No, it's true. Today was, she was a TV star, one of the first big TV stars, Joyce Randolph is Trixie.
Yeah, the Honeymooners.
Right. She's 97 or 96 today.
Oh, no kidding. She's the one left. She's the one left from that
cast. Exactly.
Well, I was watching a movie the other night called, I think it was called Take One Last Step or something, a film noir from 1949.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this is a living link. And I'm looking at one of the actors in the movie, the actress in the movie, and I'm thinking she looks vaguely familiar to me. So I look up the cast. And it's this actor named Marcia Hunt.
Oh, yes.
And I know the name partially because I have this random copy of Life magazine from 1950, and she's on the cover. Okay? So this is 3-4 days ago.
Yes.
So I look her up on her Wikipedia page, and it's October 17th. She was born on October 17th, 1917. She's 103. She's still alive.
Yes, she is. Yes, she did a lot of old-time radio. That's how I know
yes.
her.
Yes, yeah. So, and I guess a friend of mine saw the post on Facebook who knows her, oddly enough, and says she's alive and well and, you know, sharp as a tack.
No kidding.
Yeah, so anyway, I just happened to see a movie with her in it on her birthday, on her 103rd birthday.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway, so that, you know, that era is now, you know, wow, I mean, geez, I used to remember up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which was a Navy town, you guys walking around with, you know, Pearl Harbor vet hats on, you know, but you'd be hard-pressed to find any of those guys now, you know?
Oh, yeah.
because that's 80 years ago, 79 years ago.
And so now you're getting into anybody that would be left would be close to the century mark.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. The youngest at that time are now our oldest.
Right. Yes. Very true. Very true. I mean, I was, I was a relative of one of the child actors in the movie Boys Town.
You are a relative of one of the actors.
Yes,
in Boys
Town? He's long since dead. But,
oh, gotcha. Okay.
But he, his name was Bobs Watson, and he was the littlest kid in Boys Town. His name was Pee Wee, and that movie came out in 1938.
Wow.
So think about that for a minute. I was at Boys Town the other day. That's why I brought this.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Oh, that's still active and up and running.
Oh yeah. They're vibrant. They have a New England, campus in Portsmouth that's actually been around for 30 years.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that. Wow.
And we had them on the other day. And, so I was involved in a little project with them that will, that's about to come to kind of fruition. But, so I went up and visited them, on what day was it? On Monday. And, but so I was thinking about that movie. I was thinking about my uncle, and the movie came out in 1938. So he would have been, this man would have been what? 8, 10, 12, something like that. Maybe not even,
right.
Cause he was a little kid in 1938. So he would have been born, right, say 10 years before that.
Right. Right. Which would now put him squarely in the 90s.
Yeah.
If he was still around.
Yeah. No, he passed away. Gosh. He passed away 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Holy cow.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, when I saw Spencer Davis at 81, I thought, holy cow.
Yes.
That's a name that's so fixed in the 60s, you know?
Right. And all you hear about is how they were all so young. I mean, Steve Winwood was 16 or 17 when he was on that record.
Little Stevie Winwood.
Yes. And
yeah, yeah. Well,
so
I was looking around for
a clip of to play a couple of the songs on the show today, and I came across this clip on YouTube of a German Top of the Pops type TV show.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was incredible because young Spencer Davis was on, and the host, like the German Dick Clark, right, has the host on, and they're speaking German, and Davis spoke fluent German.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Wow.
I had the same reaction. Wow, that's pretty cool. Look at that.
I mean, I don't know why I would be surprised. These are talented people, smart, talented people, you know? You don't get to that level by being passive or you know, not that bright.
Right, exactly. Just, you know. Exactly. Well, didn't the Beatles all spoke German? Did they not, from being in performing in Hamburg? Or, I mean, they probably learned in school, but I think they were pretty conversant and... It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to this foreign land and I don't know how to speak the language.
I would imagine that just by being there as often as they were, you'd have to pick up. I mean, people say, I don't have this experience, that if you move to a country, you just pick up the language pretty quickly.
Oh, by immersion, sure.
Yeah, you just learn phrases and all of a sudden you're speaking fragments and then sentences and then you're having conversations, I would imagine. That's what people say.
Yes.
You know, I can watch enough French movies or whatever, and all of a sudden you know a
yes.
word, you know it's, you know. You
yes,
know,
I do the same thing when I go to Vermont. I listen to a lot of radio out of Canada, and a lot of it's
sure.
in French, and I can pick up the traffic report, or I can pick up, you know, after a while, it's like, oh, wait a minute, I recognize that, even if it's in French.
Yeah, no, or I can see the written language, and you could piece some things together pretty just because the words are similar,
right.
Not
yes.
because I'm that smart.
There you go. We got something on the ball.
Yeah, right, exactly. But yeah, so what was Spencer Davis's big? What was the big hit?
Well, there were two of them. Gimme Some Lovin'.
Was the
clip we just played with that you know, that driving bass, dun 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 dun, and then there was. I'm a Man. They had the version of I'm a Man that Chicago covered in the 70s.
Oh, okay. Right.
With another great bass with a triangle. So you had that doom, doom, down, ding.
Oh,
doom,
yeah.
Down, ding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow, wow, wow. Hey, listen, you know, to have had a hit song, well, anytime, I guess, but back in that era of the Beatles and everything, it had to be a lot of fun. It had to be, you know, you're on TV, you know what I mean? You're like on those shows you talked about. It just had to be a ball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to mingle with that whole crowd, be part of that scene, you know, Love and Spoonful and all those groups, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Had to be a ball.
Had to be.
Yeah. I mean, I look at some of those Beatles press conferences, you know, and unfortunately you've got these reporters who just don't have a clue as to what it's to ask these guys. It's so awkward, you know. You know, it's just like every town, how do you find America? How do you like Kansas? How do you, you know? And they have to say, well, we haven't really seen it. We've only seen the inside of our van, you know?
Right.
But they're having some fun, and it's just like, you know, but boy, you realize they, you know, these newspapers, local TV, radio, they just didn't have a rock and roll reporter, you know? So they sent some poor guy out there. You know,
right. Some guy in a suit who
right.
probably hated rock and roll.
Oh, you can hear the questions, you know, they're just so condescending. And, you know, you're talking to people, those four guys that we talked about, I think even last week about, you know, how on the ball they were. Geez. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, by 1966, you can see they're so over it, you know.
Yeah, so tired. It's true. It's like,
you know, they're just barely tolerating anything.
Right. Are you going to ask me again about my clothes? I mean, come
right.
on.
Right. My haircut.
Right. Yes. I'm not cutting my hair. So stop.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, so we're kind of fogged in over here on Block Island to get back to a local topic. And we haven't heard any planes today, but the boats are obviously running.
Oh, that's a good way to tell, right? If you don't hear the planes coming out of the Block Island airport, that gives you a clue.
Exactly. Exactly. You all of a sudden say, oh, I haven't heard any planes today. I guess they're not flying.
Yeah.
I mean, the ferry will announce that it's not running for the day. They are running today because fog does not stop the ferries. But New England Airlines, you call and you'll say, you know, and they'll tell you pretty much we're doing it case by case, you know, hour by hour.
Gotcha.
Which
yeah.
is probably what they're doing right now.
Probably. Hey, are you aware that there is a food writer for the Wall Street Journal who lives on Block Island, or at least has a summer place?
For a food writer for who?
I'm sorry, for the Wall Street Journal.
So, no, not specifically. I do know that five or six, seven years ago, something like that, there was an article about the fact that New England Airlines, speaking of New England Airlines,
yeah.
would actually deliver Chinese food. You could order Chinese
really?
Food from the mainland and get it delivered to the Westerly Airport, and New England Airlines would deliver, you know, the Chinese food to the terminal at the Block Island Airport.
Like a Jurassic DoorDash.
Yeah, and that story ended up on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. So
that's hilarious.
I'm going to guess that it might be the same guy.
That's hilarious. Well apparently,
yeah.
I mean, would you know that? I mean, do folks like that tend to just keep a low profile? So would you necessarily know that there was such a person who was around there?
Yeah. No, I'm not sure that you would call it a low profile or a high profile. I just don't know if it would be announced in any particular way.
That's
you
what
know
I'm saying.
What
I mean, would he stop by the newspaper office and, you know, talk shop with you?
No, but it would be the kind of thing that would come up in a casual conversation at a you know, if we were at like Clam Shack one night at Yellow Kittens or something.
Gotcha.
Back when we did that kind of thing. Oh, how are you? What's your, you know, I'm so and so, what do you do? And that's how it would come up, you know.
Interesting. The,
but I would wonder if it might be the same guy, because I remember feeling, and it happened early on in my tenure here, but I remember thinking, oh, that's the kind of story that local people take for granted. But if you were an outsider and you heard that story, you'd think it would be really cool.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I think
and it was
cool.
A little bit of a lesson for me to not just dismiss a story if local people were familiar with it, because it doesn't mean that other people wouldn't be interested in it. You know
there
what I mean?
There you go. Hey, can you hang on for a second?
Sure.
Because I'm late for you. We're going to have Martha at 10 o'clock. And
okay.
So we get to talking, and I forget what time it is, and I have to do traffic. There was an accident on the bridge, so let me check in on that. And stand by for a moment, Lars. Lars Tronson, Block Island Times. Let me see here. Things look a lot, actually a little bit better on the Newport Pell Bridge. You're still busy and it's still foggy, but the crashes seem to have cleared since our last report. WADK's exclusive VD Mercedes-Benz, VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton Bridge traffic report. Slow traffic both directions, Newport Pell Bridge. You're backed up in the toll plaza. That may be the aftermath of that crash about a half an hour ago. Doesn't seem to be any sign of it up on the bridge now, so it might have been just a little fender bender and they decided to exchange pleasantries on firm ground on the mainland or something. But we're just slow both directions for the length of the Newport Pell Bridge, and that's as bad as it gets. Please be careful in the fog, particularly those work crews out in not only in the Newport Pell Bridge, which are kind of sheltered, but out on the Jamestown-Verrazano Bridge. There's a cone zone out there. They're still working, and it's in all that murk and fog. So please keep your speed down, and let's not have any tragedies up there today. So 12 minutes from Boston Neck Road at the foot of the downtown Newport exits. Mount Hope Bridge, thankfully, they have pulled the crews off there. You're running free and clear. Please watch your speed. Secundit River Bridge, Route 24, reduce that speed coming over from Portsmouth to the VD side of the river, where it is always VD and you. And those VD Volvo cars and VD Mercedes all come with fog lights. And we'll check all this again in less than half an hour.
This portion of programming is sponsored by DEA Take Back Day, October 24th, DEATakeBack.com. Join the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration for National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 24th. Visit DEATakeBack.com.
Hi, I'm Kim Salerno, and I'm running to represent the 2nd Ward on Newport City Council. For the past 15 years, I've served my fellow Newporters as a member of the Planning Board, developing a vision for our city's future, most recently with the North End Urban Plan. As your representative on the council, I will continue my work to improve the quality of life for all those who live in the city by the sea. I'm Kim Salerno, and I'm asking for your vote.
This message is paid for by Friends of Kim Salerno.
Gustav White Sotheby's International Realty, selling Newport County homes since 1925. This full-service agency, locally owned by Paul Lees and Chris West, is an invaluable resource for residential sales, rentals, appraisals, and auctions, offering a wealth of local knowledge and worldwide exposure for your property. Over 30 full-time agents cover all of Rhode Island. Check their bios on gustavwhite.com. Don't just put a sign in front of your house, put your house in front of the world. Through Gustav White Sotheby's International Realty, 37 Bellevue Avenue, Newport. Phone 849-3000 or visit gustavwhite.com.
Sunday Swing Time, every Sunday morning at 10. A WADK tradition for more than 40 years. This is your host, Bob Angel, extending an invitation to listen in. Enjoy a blend of big bands, jazz ensembles, and classic vocalists. Sunday Swing Time, Sunday mornings at 10, right here at AM 1540 WADK and WADK.com.
This is John Martin with an AARP Rhode Island update. The coronavirus pandemic has devastated nursing homes and long-term care facilities, causing the deaths across the country of more than 84,000 residents and staff. Far too many of these deaths here in Rhode Island. No state has done a good enough job to stem the loss of life. AARP has called for the enactment of a plan to protect nursing homes and long-term care facility residents and has fought for public reporting of nursing home COVID cases and deaths. Information is vital, and that's why AARP is using data nursing homes report to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to create a nursing home COVID dashboard, a monthly update on deaths, new cases, the availability of protective equipment, staff shortages, and more. And you can see how Rhode Island fares compared to other states. You can access the nursing home COVID dashboard as well as other pandemic news at www.aarp.org/ri or follow AARP Rhode Island on Facebook.
WADK weather.
There is a dense fog advisory in effect until mid-morning. For today, clouds breaking for some sunshine once the fog moves out, high 68. Mostly cloudy and mild tonight, low 62. Mostly cloudy and warm tomorrow, high 71. Clear for tomorrow night, low 57. Kicking off the weekend Friday, pleasant with partial sunshine, high 64. Friday night, a few clouds will hang around with a low of 55. I'm Cheryl Golden on 1540 WADK.
Sunday Swing Time, Sunday morning at 10 on WADK.
We are talking with Lars Johnson, and all this started when the food section this morning, Gail Champa referenced a food writer for the Wall Street Journal who mentioned he has a summer place on Block Island. And it's all kinds of, it reveals all kinds of things. First of all, first time the food writer of the Providence Journal in 25 years has a contact with the food writer from the Wall Street Journal, which tells you a whole lot about both of those people. And then the story was about calamari, which again, the rest of us were talking about 2 months ago with the Democratic convention.
Right.
So, and then if you read the story, she actually pieced it together as she went along, which was a little strange. We had talked about it, and actually I did a couple of segments on the dining show the weekend after the Democratic convention about the history of calamari, and it actually has its roots in academia, actually at MIT. Which you admit, which you
admit.
Well, the connection with MIT, I'm glad you asked that, Lars, because I just happen to have the story right here.
Yeah, I don't think, I remember reading a very long, fascinating article about how calamari was more or less invented.
Yes.
Because other traditional seafoods were kind of running out of stock, I think.
Absolutely right. Endangered Species of Seafood, 1974, a master's thesis in the in the School of Management at MIT. And the master's candidate wrote about the current trends of seafood being overfished and endangered and so forth. And we've got to find something else to eat other than fish and chips, cod, haddock, and so forth. What about squid?
Right.
Because it's big in Europe and so forth. The issue was, to put it on the mass market, it was difficult to process and clean.
Right.
And it had to be made appetizing somehow because people were a little squeamish about eating squid.
Right. Well, I'm not crazy about it if it's not dressed up in some way. If it's not, you know, fried. Or
absolutely.
Something. You know, I'm not a big naked squid in a salad or something. That's
right.
Not my...
I'm with you.
You know, but I mean, I remember again to reference Portsmouth, New Hampshire, lobster. 100 years ago was considered junk food.
Absolutely.
And they were so plentiful, there were stories of them literally crawling up on the streets of Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Right.
Which at that time was also the location of the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard Prison, which was the big brig for the Navy.
Yes.
And they were so low on the totem pole in terms of food, lobsters were, was that they just gather them up and give them to the prisoners. Because they were cheap and they were, I guess, maybe nothing at all and plentiful. And so they just gave them to the prisoners there at the Portsmouth Naval Prison. So,
really?
But
I
then,
have
of course,
30
that,
seconds.
I mean, if you look at lobsters, they're not a very attractive organism.
Certainly not. Certainly not. My wife has a theory that we're all going to get to the other side and God's going to say to us, wait a minute, you ate those?
Yeah.
I think he's right.
All right. Well, listen, we will hopefully chat later on in the week. If you want to,
yes, sir.
Around.
I will check in with you on Friday.
All right. Excellent.
Thanks, Lars, very, very much. Stay safe in the fog and all that. Lars Johnson, editor of the Block Island Times.
From the VD Mercedes-Benz, VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton Studios, this is your hometown information station, 1540 WADK Newport.
Hi, this is Jeannie Marie Napolitano, and I'm on the Newport City Council. I've spent my career working for families and businesses. We're in the middle of a health and economic crisis, and now's the time for us to work together. I've championed expanding our economy to stabilize our tax rate, diversify